Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering here on Tuesday night, another Tuesday night on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome in, everyone.
We are looking, this will be a fun show. I'm excited.
It will be a fun show,
we'll
for
talk
sure.
About a few of our things that we've been working on, and then we'll get to it, because I think we'll need the full hour.
Yes, for sure. So we're a little discombobulated tonight, because we're at Superfan Anita's house, and she cooked us dinner, and it was an amazing dinner, and we looked at our watches, and it's like, oh my god, we were supposed to be on like 5 minutes ago, so we kept our poor guest waiting, and Sarge, but you know what, whatever, you know. It is what it is.
It wouldn't be us if it wasn't, what did you call it, discombobulated?
Discombobulated.
That would be the word of the day. And it's the whole retrograde and all this crazy stuff happening so far. So it's just been, everything's just a little off kilter. And there's all sorts of fun stuff happening out there. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tip of the iceberg.
But we're here now, so it's all good.
It is all good.
So you had a busy weekend?
Oh, my gosh. It was nuts. You know, it was so interesting because Saturday was so busy. I started working at 9 in the morning, and I was done by 11 at night. That's not including drive time.
Oh, that's crazy.
And it was classes, teaching, energy work, you know, individual sessions. And then we had a home clearing, you know, that was, I don't know, 3 hours or so. And then I did that event over at the museum with the paranormal. And by the time I got home, I got to bed, and I was just kicked. I was tired. I woke up the next morning, and I felt like I had a hangover.
Oh, I bet you did.
I had basically a psychic hangover. It took me about till 2 o'clock to get moving.
Oh, my God.
It's like, But that's all right. We got a lot of good stuff done, and we helped a lot of people, and that's what it's all about. So, and we topped it off with a very fun investigation on Saturday night. You know what's really interesting is we break into four teams for this this event at the Bakken, and Tim Donahue leads one of the groups. He's my partner in crime in this paranormal gig here, and he was leading one of the groups, and they were sitting in the Frankenstein room, right? Because they have this Frankenstein exhibit there, and he feels the gal next to him. She pulled his shirt up out of his pants. He's like, what? And so he didn't look at her because he's like, what is she doing? And so he's like, okay, he turns and like, you have to stop. Like, don't, you can't do that. I'm like, what are you doing?
Why
like,
was she doing that?
Well, he didn't know if she was messing with him or whatever. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? She's like, what are you talking about? She was holding equipment in the hand that was next to him.
I get it.
And nobody else was doing it. It was someone, though, was doing it.
Yeah.
And messing with him and pulling his, like, tugging at his shirt, and it started lifting out of his waist.
That's wild.
Like, my goodness, someone's trying to pull my shirt out. And so I thought that was pretty funny, because it was, it didn't feel bad, nothing bad. Like, we wouldn't have a public event in a place that was not good. But it was just, it freaked him out a little bit, because he's like, who is messing with me? But someone did that at the Palmer House last time we were there, too. They flashlight out of his pocket.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
His pocket, they lifted it right up out of his pocket while he was sitting. So you know how it's kind of tight when you're sitting? You know, your pants get kind of tighter, whatever. And your pocket, you know, you've got some in it, it's pretty tight. You could feel it slide right up and out and then hit the floor.
That's crazy. That's absolute craziness. Oh, my gosh.
So I'd like to get him.
Yeah.
But then the other, I heard two of the teams were saying, hey, if you want to touch someone, go touch Tim.
Wow.
Okay. So anyway, it was a busy week, busy weekend, but fun and a lot of good stuff done. So
yeah.
Feeling good again.
Good. So you're all set to rock and roll.
Yeah. You were out of town.
Just your mic. So Saturday I went with Jerry and Katie and Bobby Sullivan to Elmwood, Wisconsin because Jerry and Bobby were doing a small town supernatural presentation at the big UFO days there. It's amazing how many people were actually there. I mean, it was like crazy packed, you know, a lot of people. I can't even put an estimate on there. But it was very fun. It was very fun. So that was awesome. And that took the whole day, basically. And now this weekend, the Squatchers will be squatching. I can't wait for that. So that's going to be fun. I know you can't make it this time, but we'll carry on without you.
You'll have to, I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah. It'll be good. We'll check in every once in a while if you wish. But yeah, no, it'll be fun. So we're going up on Friday and we'll be there till Sunday. So it'll be fun. I can't wait. Maybe we'll find the big guy this time.
Well, don't do it while I'm gone. No, if you do it, that's good. But if you find him, just tell him I said hi.
Yes. Or her. Yes. Or maybe we'll find some footprints or something. You know, it'd be fun to... We always find something, though, Heidi. That's the thing. We always find stuff.
Even if it's not the big guy or big foot.
It's something.
Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it interesting. That's why you go out every time. It's like, it's never boring.
It's never boring.
It's just like paranormal investigating. There's always something.
Yes.
You can take away from it. So.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So we have a fabulous guest this evening. His name is Michael Christopher. Michael, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. So
good.
welcome to the Crazy Girls of the Gathering.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. So one of the things that we put on our the poster this week is that, you know, you're a psychic and an evidential medium. So can you explain what exactly an evidential medium is and how that differs from a regular medium?
I will say this first. It's a title that can get me in a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, we'd like to hear about that too then.
Well, when I started this, and it's only been a few years, I was kind of given that title, you know, and I really didn't understand what it meant. I was just like, okay, evidential medium,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was even like, what does that mean? You know, what is it? How does it differ from other mediums? And really, as time goes on, I'm really finding that I don't think it does. With me, and I'll just throw this out there, I'm one that does not like labels, titles, because to me, it puts you in a box. And I think the title evidential medium puts you in this category where people's expectations are automatically, you know, up there, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, can definitely put a lot of pressure on a person. So me personally, I just try to do what I do, you know. But I find that, you know, I do generally, I shouldn't even say generally, most of the time get some pretty concrete evidence when I'm giving readings. And I'll just throw out something, you know, a few things that stand out right now as I'm talking is a lot of times the spirit will put me in a place, like a situation, and I'll be watching it and I'll describe what I'm seeing and come to find out the person I'm reading, it's like, well, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I've had several times where, all right, the spirit's showing me you folding laundry and they're showing me that you like it perfect squares and all this, come to find out this person was in their laundry room at that time doing that exact thing. So, you know, that even freaks me out sometimes. Cause I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, so, but I mean, if you go by the term evidential medium, it's just really that, that person's able to get, you know, names, dates, very specific information about the spirit coming through. Now, is that 100% accurate all the time? Absolutely not. You know, we're human, you know, it's all up to interpretation. like I said, for me personally, I just do the best I can. I try to interpret the best I can and give the person, you know, what I'm getting. And we just go from there. So that's it in a nutshell. It's probably a long answer.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good to hear you describe it. I was looking at your website, and I would love for you to share. I did share your website on our chat room, and we'll put it on our Facebook page as well. But I'd love to hear your story, or if you can tell the story. I was reading it on your website. I thought it was really interesting. Do you mind sharing your story with our listeners?
Oh, not at all. I mean, if you have a few minutes here.
Yeah, we have an hour. Go for it. Yeah, we do. We have an hour.
So just all right. Because I think it's interesting to hear where you came from, because you said you've only been doing this for a couple of years, but I think your story is really interesting on how you got here.
It is, even for me. And it's both, you know, it's tragedy and, you know, something that comes out of it that, you know, is positive. So it's one of those stories, but I really do. I sit and think when it actually really started for me. And as I think back, in 2000, I was diagnosed with kidney disease. And that was halfway through my Air Force career, almost right at my 10-year point. So at that time, you know, it hit me like, okay, what does this mean? You know, and at the time the doctor said, well, you know, we caught it. It's fairly progressed. They said, you know, it could sit like this and not really progress. It could progress really quickly. It's just one of those things that we need to keep an eye on. So immediately, you know, you go into this, well, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to handle this? And for me, it took me about 2 weeks and to really sit and think, okay, you know, A, I could sit and worry about this, which does no good. B, I could just deal with it and take every day for what it is. You know, right now, as I sit here, you know, this is what's going through my mind. I'm healthy. It's not affecting me now. Live your life. But, you know, I lived like that for 10 years. And, you know, every once in a while it would creep up on me, you know, that thought, you can't take a vacation from a chronic illness that's eventually going to lead to something, you know, bad. And eventually it did. In 2009, right after I retired from the Air Force, literally probably 5 months, you know, I was doing blood work regularly, and come to find out in that October, my kidneys started showing signs of failing. So fast forward, you know, to the rest of 2009 into 10, around May, they failed. I had to start dialysis, you know, and even though I knew this was coming for 10 years, it still hit me. It really crushed me. I remember leaving the doctor's office and just going out and driving aimlessly for like 2 hours, just trying to, you know, again, put it in perspective. How am I going to handle this? Mm-hmm. So, you know, long story short, you know, I just came back home, told my wife what was going on. You know, and I shared this with her, of course, but I told her, I said, I don't want to live. I don't want to go through dialysis. I was at that point where dying to me was it was less frightening than trying to start dialysis and eventually wait for a kidney. Mm-hmm. And probably literally within 2 days, I just had this complete turnaround mindset. I was like, no, you know, I need to stick around. I just said to myself, no, I gotta at least try. And, you know, I decided I'd give it a year. You know, if I didn't have a kidney in a year, you know, at that time I was like, no, that's it. I don't want to be kept alive by a machine. That was just me. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily, a couple months go by. My brother originally tested. He matched. We were supposed to do the operation in September 2010. 2 weeks mm-hmm. prior to the transplant, he got a MRSA infection, which is staph.
Oh, geez.
And they said, you can no longer donate. So, again, I was hit with, oh, crap. Here I am again.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, a friend of mine that was still in the Air Force that I served with reached out, and he started asking questions. I thought he was just curious. He's like, no, man, I want to do this. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit further. He ended up being a perfect match. He was down in Mississippi at the time. I was in North Dakota. He flew up. We did the transport plant in Bismarck in December 2010. Been great ever since. Wow. I think that whole period of just deep soul searching. And at the time reading, you know, books on psychics, watching John Edward, it just gave me that comfort that there's something beyond this if something goes wrong. Now, this is the real pivotal part. Let me just grab a glass of water here real quick. Or a sip anyway. summer of 2015, my mom calls one day and just said, hey, Jackie was stabbed. And that's all we knew, my sister. And I was like, okay. So we just waited for more information. You know, unfortunately, 2 days later, you know, they took her off life support. She was a victim of a robbery. She was in her barbershop by herself on a Friday afternoon, and someone broke in to steal drug money. And ended up stabbing her. You know, she immediately tried to get outside the building, collapsed in the street. You know, she had lost so much blood that she had several heart attacks and strokes throughout the evening. And then, you know, 2 days later, you know, she passed. Unfortunately, it was several months before, you know, they found who did it. But in the meantime, I started looking for psychics that worked with unsolved cases. So through that search, I found people, thank God, that, you know, started reaching out with asking without asking anything for themselves. And through that, I got to know them. We got talking and stuff. Well, 2 months after Jackie passed, this is the pivotal part. I got up one morning for work, and I was in my kitchen. It was 5:30 in the morning, and I'm by myself, and I just feel a presence behind me. Now, granted, I had never had an experience ever paranormal in my life, nothing that I was aware of. So I feel this, and all of a sudden, an image of her pops in my head, and I was just like, what is going on here? So at the same time, I'm seeing this image of my sister, and I'm feeling her. And in my mind, I see her come up behind me and give me a hug. And I just froze. You know, I was like, what is going on here? And it lasted for probably about 15 seconds, and then her energy just backed off. And I was just like, what just happened? You know, I tried to make sense of it. I didn't say anything for a couple days. And later on, probably about a week or so, I was talking to one of my medium friends. I didn't tell him much. I just told him a little, you know, hey, I had this experience in my kitchen, and they validated what happened. So I was just like, whoa. A little bit further down the road, having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I start hearing his name in my head over and over and over. And then I hear the way this person passed. So I throw it out to the person on the phone because I couldn't ignore it. Turns out this was the person's father. And I was just like, what is going on? And they're like, well, you're a medium. I'm like, what do you mean I'm a medium? No, I'm not. You know, and suggested I take some classes just to understand what was going on. You know, it piqued my curiosity, but I didn't think anything of it. So I was like, okay. Took a beginner's mediumship course, you know, and it teaches you the clairs. Every week you learn a new clair. So first week, we're going over clairvoyance. As soon as the instructor started teaching or going over what that meant, everything started making sense. Here all my life, I thought, you know, when people saw spirit, it was always external. You always heard outside your body. Come to find out, no, it's not how it works for everybody. Most of it's actually internal. So I'm like, all these pictures, all these images, I'm like, holy moly, this is making too much sense. I've seen this. I've had this happen. Mm-hmm. Then we go over clairaudience, same thing. I'm like, wait a minute, this is thought? You know, because a lot of people misunderstand that when I hear spirit, it's almost in my own voice. It's like I hear self-talk, but it's them. So again, that was just another door that was like, holy moly, I've had this happen. So needless to say, this stuff just started happening. And for whatever reason, I decided to create a Facebook group because I wanted to just start experimenting and practicing. So I did. I would just start doing readings for people. I didn't care if I was right, wrong, indifferent. I'm like, I want to play with this. Well, people start validating the stuff I'm getting. I'm like, really? You know, it was just a shock. If you need to cut in, because I can babble, I'll tell you this right now.
Go for it. It's going.
Okay. So I started doing that. I started just doing individual readings, you know. And then we were in a shop down in Bismarck, a crystal rock healing shop, and Long story short there, we got to know a couple of the people that worked there. And I think it was only my second time down there, me and my wife. And they're like, hey, would you do a group reading? And I have a habit of just opening my mouth and just speaking without thinking. I'm like, sure, why not? So I jump into this gallery reading, not knowing what in the heck I'm about to get myself into. But I was like, eh, whatever. So I go down there. There's probably a group of 15, 20 people. And again, you know, I wasn't charging any money. I think I did donations, and the donations, everything was going to the animal shelter. So whatever was raised went there. So, I mean, everybody knew in advance, I don't know what I'm doing. This is an experiment. We're going to see what happens. You know, so thank God for those people that came out, you know, and sat for me. So I stood up in front of this group of people, and for 20 minutes, there was nothing. I'm sitting there just like looking around, floundering like a fish going, oh, this is great. Finally, someone steps in and breaks the ice. And, you know, it was just like, okay, off to the races, you know, and things started flowing. And for some reason, since the beginning, I've always been drawn to doing group readings. Mm. People who have read me have said continuously, it's like, we see you doing like John Edward, like you're going to be doing these big groups, not like 40, 50. We see you doing groups of like hundreds of people in these big auditoriums. And it became this constant theme. And I'm like, well, interesting. You know, I'm just taking it in going, well, that's interesting. And it's weird how things are just starting to happen that way. You know, I'm doing these group readings, you know, and it's just happening. It's just, you know, you hear people talk about being in the flow and being in, doing what you're supposed to be doing. I think after, you know, I'll be 49 here in 2 days, I think I'm finally found that flow, because I don't really do active advertising. Everything's by word of mouth, which I appreciate, because I think that's the way it should be, because people who come to see me, they tell their friends or whatever, so they know what they're getting. You know, I don't like to talk about myself. I don't like, you know, I just do what I do. I appreciate everybody who comes out to see me, and, you know, the kind words that everybody has, and the faith they have in me and the trust they have in me. So yeah, it's just a continual thing now for the last almost 3 years. It's only been about 3 years, two that I've actually been like doing this professionally, if you want to call it that. But everything for me happened really quick, really quick.
Wow.
And that's, I mean, in a nutshell, that's it.
Yeah, that's, I just think it's interesting.
Oh, and, yeah. Really cool story. I mean, goodness.
And I,
so I was going to say, so you've been seeing all this stuff all your life and just didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah, you know, intuition. You know, I look back on things throughout my life, and I can clearly go back and go, yep, that was that. You know, this was this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's had that thing where, you know, someone, the phone rings, you know who it is. I mean, I would almost take it to a step further, though. I would know the whole conversation for the person on the phone and know what the heck just happened before they even, I would answer the questions, and I was like, where the heck did that come from?
Wow.
So that's like a continual thing with me. It's just, so that kind of stuff has happened. I mean, everybody has those experiences, and I'm here to tell you, I am not the exception. Everybody can do this. Everybody has an ability to connect. Yes, we may have different levels of ability, but I wholeheartedly believe this is a birthright. Everybody has the ability to connect to their friends and family in the, on the other side. You know, maybe not everybody's going to be a medium doing this for, you know, for other people, but they may. But everybody has the ability. It's just understanding how it works and trusting the information. And I'll tell you right now, you know, I tell my sister all the time, it's like, show yourself. I'm always teasing. We're always teasing with each other. I'm like, hey, you need to show yourself. And, you know, she'll tell me, it's like, it takes a lot of energy, and no, you know, I don't need to do this for you, you know. But, you know, and it's funny because she'll come up in mediums or in readings for me, and the medium will look at me and go, your sister wants to tell you, all right, listen. She's not going to pop light bulbs for you. She's not going to jump out around the corner at you. She sends you butterflies and doves. And I specifically remember after that reading in particular, I go out to my living room, I look in the front yard, and what's sitting there in the yard? A dove sitting right square, middle of the front yard, looking at me. I was like, gotcha.
coming by to say hi. That is awesome.
Yep.
That is a really good story.
Well, and one of the things, too, before we go to break, that you spoke to and that I resonated with as well is there's there's so many people out there that don't understand what gift they have or that it's
right.
intuitive ability. So, you know, you think it's just, that's just how it is, or that's just my own head or whatever. And it's really communication of some kind.
It is.
So it makes you feel a little less crazy too.
When mm-hmm. you oh yeah.
start to talk to other people that get it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the biggest mistake people think is they're waiting for these, you know, Hollywood moments, you know, for spirit connection. And it is so subtle. And I found even with my work, when it started, it was a little bit more pronounced than it is now, because as I work with it, they can use less energy and it's a lot more subtle communication. But I know now how to pay attention, how to listen, you know. So it's for them, it's easier to communicate with somebody who actually acknowledges. And that's all you need to do. You know, those crazy thoughts that you get in your head. Where did this come from? You know, mm-hmm. I just thought of my friend who passed away 20 years ago out of nowhere. That's how that works. That's them just saying, hey, I'm here with you. And mm-hmm. it's just a simple acknowledgement. And once you start acknowledging those things and just saying thank you, you will be surprised how much more they start happening.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. And like you were saying too, and I've talked about this in different classes that I teach as well, everybody can do it. It's not yes. just for special people or certain people. To a degree, everybody can connect. Everybody has yes. that opportunity to communicate. It's just, are you paying attention? Do you know what mm-hmm. you're looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I call it the billboard. Everybody wants to drive down the highway and get the billboard that says, Heidi, this is what spirit wants to tell you. And it doesn't come yeah. like that. You know, I mean, maybe in the beginning or a couple of times if they need to wallop you over the head, you get some big, you know, billboard. But most of the time, it's so easy to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be confusing.
I've had those billboard moments, too, when I haven't been paying attention. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I nowadays, what they do with me, if I'm not paying attention, which is, I was going to say it's rare, but I do it. I'll admit. I get human, you know, I get to be a goofball and not pay attention to like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it yep. my whack-a-mole moments. They take that whack-a-mole yeah. mallet and wallop me over the head with it.
Like,
right.
Because they're like, Heidi, pay attention.
Hey, I'm talking to you. What's the matter yeah. with you? Yeah.
So I'm one of these days I'm going to get my own whack-a-mole mallet and just keep it at the studio. Just as a reminder to pay attention or I'm going to get the whack-a-mole mallet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, that's how they get me yep. now. Because they're like, you're not paying attention. We're trying to get you to... anyway, so, yeah, I get the mallet now. That's
I love it. That's I love good. It. Well, it seems like a natural time to take a few minutes for a break, do you yeah. think? It's 8:28.
Yep.
So we'll take a commercial break, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us on the Para-X Network.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Explore the darkness. Find out what goes bump in the night. Did you hear that? Did you see that? What's that bright light in the sky? Oh, we certainly need to investigate. Calling all witches and sensitives.
Explore the paranormal.
With host
Shauna
and Vicky
from Geeks Paranormal.
Wednesdays
at 9 Eastern,
8 Central.
Let's explore.
On paraxradio.com.
So I think it's always nice hearing this story because it resonates with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it does for sure.
Yeah. So it's, you know, anytime you can hear someone else's story and it might connect with someone that's going through the same thing or has gone through the same thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I am, that's me. You know, that's a little bit of me. I feel a little bit more normal now hearing that. So I appreciate you sharing your story. And it was, I know it's on your website too, which again, we've posted and we'll post again after the show. So people can go back and read it or, you know, listen to the show on the podcast too. But thank you for sharing that. And
No, it's my pleasure. I do. You know, the thing for me personally, I hope I'm using the right words here, but for me, I just try to normalize this because it is. It's a normal everyday thing. It's just people. There's been, you know, such a taboo with it. You know, you almost stay hidden with it. Again, it's something that's there. You know, it's just been dormant. You know, people have forgotten how to use it. You know, you're born with it. When you're a kid, kids do this stuff all the time. Right. You know, it's that imaginary friend or whatever. You know, it's like, watch a child play, pay attention to them. You'll see it.
Yeah.
It's us that, you know, the adults that tell them, you know, no, that's not real. And that's only your imagination, which is the most horrible word in our language, imagination, because really that's what this is. Even when I'm working, it does, you feel like you're imagining or making this stuff up. And it is, there's this fine line between, you know, is this me or is it them? And you just learn to work with that and figure out that, okay, this is what mine. This is definitely not my memory. So again,
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just, you know, I just want to try to make it as, you know, I'm a normal person. Well, no, I'm not, but, you know, in a special way.
None of us are, man.
But, I mean, you know, one thing I think that I personally for myself, I just try to be me every day. You know, this is something I do. It's not everything I am. It's a part of me, you know, but, you know, I like to do other things too. And I want people to understand that I'm not like medium 24/7. You know, I have other things I want to do. I'm here for a reason.
Right.
So, you know, I try to keep everything in check.
So you don't do this full time, is that correct?
Not yet. I still...
Okay.
No, I have a full-time... I'm an air traffic controller, so that's my full-time career. So this is something I'm doing on the side, although I'm slowly gravitating towards doing this full-time. I mean, that's where I'm going with this. I want to do this full-time.
Good for you.
It's just a huge leap after being, you know, I've had a career for almost 30 years, you know, it's hard to step away from that safety net. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, I know what you feel like. I went through the same thing, 6 years ago and, you know, working in corporate, and I loved what I was doing. I was going to retire there and doing this on the side, and I loved it, but I didn't know how to transition. And then my boss fired me because he's like, you have to go do it. Because he knew I was too chicken to quit. That's just me. I'm chicken. I'm not saying anybody else is chicken. I was chicken because it's scary.
I'm chicken.
Taking a leap. Okay. So it's scary, right? Taking a leap to change careers, especially when you're over 40, which is me too.
Yeah.
And me.
My boss fired me. He said, go do that. You have to do it and you're not going to go. So I'm firing you. And I had every name in the book for him and told him that this wasn't not supposed to, whatever. And yeah. It ended up working out because it's supposed to be, you know, when you know, like you said, you feel the pull in that direction.
Oh God. Yeah.
And I feel it. There's something to it. There's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when you did that, Heidi, because when I took the first, whatever intuition class from you that I had, and you were just starting that, then you were leaving your corporate career and coming into this, and you know, I thought, wow, you're really brave. I don't know that I could do that.
I wasn't brave. It's like being pushed into the deep end of the pool,
right?
It's like I didn't jump. Are you kidding me? I didn't do that.
Yeah,
I was not brave. I mean, I had been doing this for a decade before.
Yes,
you know, and you just get into this place, and I don't know, Michael, if you kind of feel like you're, you know, it's you hang on to both of them. You know, because it's like, it's working, you know, and it's not ideal, but it's paying the bills, it's doing, like, you know, and I was not even brave, not for a second. It's
well.
Oh no, I need that. I need somebody to push me off the cliff. I need somebody to fire me. I need. And the thing is, I feel it more, and it's just within really the last 6 months, I've been feeling this every day. I'm like, I go to work and I do my job. I have to, it's a safety critical job, you know, I don't fool around with that, but it's still every day I go there, I feel like I'm not supposed to be here anymore. This part of my life is done. I need to be doing this. And, you know, I have two brothers and a sister who have passed, you know, and the pull from them
is.
So,
you're so young.
How does that work?
Yeah. My two brothers had cystic fibrosis.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're a transplant family. My first brother, Jason, didn't make it to transplant. He was too ill. But my brother, Danny, survived two double lung transplants.
His first set rejected
after about 3 years. And I can't remember where I stayed at. Either I got sick after his first one. I think that's how it was when I found out. Then he had his second one. Then I had my kidney transplant. And then later on, he developed kidney failure because of the medications we have to take for rejection. But then eventually, lymphoma, cancer in his lungs, and then, you know, he passed away. He was 42. My brother was 20. My other brother, Jason, was 26 when he passed. It's hard to describe the stuff that's happened. But, you know, it's feel like with my work now, I have a team over there. I mean, those three have been like, you know, my biggest support. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think of them any different. Yes, they're not here physically, but they're always there for me, you know. And they'll step in at the wildest times.
It's amazing how that happens. Like, my dad is always with me, too. I know that. You know, we did Michael, we did a seance on the radio last. It was right before Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
And my dad popped into that. That was awesome. And he's with me a lot. I know this. And that is awesome. That is so awesome. You know, that feeling that they're there, you know?
Yep.
Like you said,
every time when I, yeah.
It's the cheering.
I'm sorry,
session.
I think I cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Yes.
But,
yes, definitely.
Oh gosh, what a heart wrench. I mean, where did you get, was it something in the environment where you guys are getting all these sicknesses, or did it run in the family? Or
well, no,
that's so odd.
Well, this is the odd part, even more odder. Well, not odder, but my family is very diverse. My mom and dad have both been married several times. So, half brothers, half sisters, you know, not full blood. Jason and Danny were not blood related, but I always considered them, and they are my brothers. You know, with Jackie was born to my dad's second marriage. Now, I don't know if I put it on the website or not, but I didn't know Jackie in life. This is the odd part about this story.
That is on your
She page. Was so much younger than me. When I was 19 going in the Air Force, she was probably like 5. So I didn't get to meet her. You know, she was young. I left. All those times going back home on leave throughout my career, it just never came to pass where we met up. The year before she passed, I was home, and we were all supposed to go out to dinner together, and something happened where it just didn't happen. So that made it even more confusing, and it just compounded that much more that I never got to meet her. But now we get to know each other in a weird way, if you want to look at it that, through where she is now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a very unique situation, but she's my sister, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow.
Well, that's... it's such a unique relationship, you know, that you really have a relationship after she passed.
And yes.
Yes.
Not while she was here, but she's still here, just different. That's just really, all of that is very unique, and what a journey.
Oh,
but the thing with this, though, I want people to understand that, you know, the connections we made or didn't make in my case are still there. Mm-hmm. It's just finding a way to tap in and trust the information you're getting and be able, everybody can have this experience. You know, you can connect, you can. Yes, you're not going to be able to reach out and physically hug them, talk to them. It's different. You know, it's never going to be the same as it was in the physical world. It's different, but it's still there. The connection's still there. The relationship is still there. You know, people really need to just think about that and just, you know, at least consider that. It just could bring so much peace to somebody knowing that their family members are not gone. You will see them again.
Well, and, you know, we say that about our animals that pass away, too. You know, like my little Lolita is always, I see her quite often in the house, you know, and she's been gone for 4 years now. You know, they stay with us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember after we had to put one of our boxers down, it was probably not a few months later, and my wife and I both felt it. He used to come in and rub him on the side of the bed, and we felt him bump the bed, and we both sat up in bed going, did you feel that? And it was like, whoa, you know, they're there.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Absolutely.
So
can I ask a question? I know we've got about 15 minutes left. And, I mean, have you ever had a situation? And if we have questions from the chat room, too, let us know. We'll get those in here before we wrap up. But I'm just wondering if you've ever had a situation where you were like, I have no idea what to do with this. You know, whether it was overwhelming or scary or, you know, something that you just thought, whoa, what in the heck is going on here? Have you ever had a situation like that?
You mean like during a reading, for instance?
Yeah.
In my short time doing this, I've experienced quite a lot. I've sat down with a person and not been able to read anything, you know, and I used to beat myself up about that. And as I developed, I learned that, you know, it takes three parties to make this happen. You know, the person sitting across from me, the spirit in the spirit world, you know, again, they may not like me, and people giggle at this, but it's the absolute truth. They're still the same person. If they don't like talking to men, for instance, they're not going to come through to me. Yep. If they don't like me for whatever reason, they're not comfortable talking to me. They're not going to come through. And it took me a while to understand that, wait a minute, this isn't all, you know, it's not just about me. It's the three of us in this, you know, this reading. So that's happened, you know, where absolutely I've gotten nothing. I'll get information that's vague that I try to make sense of and I can't, you know, so, and then some readings they'll flow so quick, the information's so clear. The thing, and I hope I'm answering what you just asked. Mm-hmm. So I'm on a tangent. Let me know.
No, it's all good.
Get on a tangent. But, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, accept what I get, give what I get, and that's the best I can do. But yeah, I've had those, what the heck are you trying to tell me? You know, I don't think anything scared me, if, you know, but, I've had some experiences, you know, and there's been delicate ones too. You know, if somebody has lost a child, you know, that's hard, but, you know, and I forewarn, you know, I always prepare somebody if something sensitive is about to happen. I don't just blurt it out. I'm like, look, what I'm about to give you is very sensitive. Are you willing to accept this? Because I always want to make sure they fully understand what's about to come. And still, I still gingerly give them the information. I don't edit anything. Whatever I get, I'm giving, you know, and it's up to them, you know, to take that. I've had suicides. I've had, you know, it's just, it's delicate, but, you know, it's not my job to edit or say, no, I'm not channeling that information. No, you know.
Right.
I hope that answers it.
Yeah. No, I just wasn't sure because I know you've seen things and felt things and heard things and all of that. So I didn't know if something came through that was just like startling or disturbing or anything like that.
No, I don't usually get startled that easy. And, you know, I'll give you my perspective really quick on a lot of stuff that's out there. You know, thanks to TV, you know, a lot of fear factor has been put into this, you know, what spirits are. And, you know, I see a lot of just people automatically think that something going on in their house is evil and fearful. And I'm like, all right, let's step back and really look at this. Why? What's going on that is making you think that? Because I always want people to realize there's something going on here. And the way I look at it is somebody's just there trying to get your attention. You know, obviously, if there's something really crazy going on, yeah, maybe that's something that a professional needs to come in and handle. But most of the time, it's somebody just trying to get your attention. You know, they'll see shadow figures and think that's evil. Well, no, that's the easiest way I feel for them to present themselves. And the way I see that is if they're not listening to you, you know, they're trying to send you those messages internal, but if they're really persistent, they're going to start showing you things. That's, and this is just my perspective. I am not by all, in any means saying I know everything. I do not. I just tend to look at everything, just give everything its due process, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
So I tend to just look at it in a common sense point of view, a rational kind of view first, before I make any kind of decision on, all right, this is above anything I'm familiar with. I need help.
Right. Have you had to turn anything over before?
I've referred people to different mediums if I can't make a connection. I've had people contact me for house cleanings, cleansings, and I'm not just going to go in there and say, yeah, let me give this a whack. No, because I know that can turn bad if you don't do it right. So I'm like, here, let me refer you to somebody who does this. You know, I'm not one of those that I'm just going to, you know, ego and I'm going to do this for you and see what happens. Mm-hmm. No, I've seen stuff, you know, heard stuff that if things aren't done right, you can make it worse. I'm not going to do that to somebody. Mm-hmm. So I've referred people in that case.
Yeah.
The only startling thing I can tell you, and it was startling and then it was funny, but literally it was, I was about to do a reading for my stepmother and my sister decided one morning, 1:30 in the morning, to come sit on the edge of my bed. It woke me up. I felt her sit down and I was like, at first I was like, what the, there's somebody sitting on the edge of the bed by my feet. So I wake up and it was her. It's internal. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I got a couple things you need to tell my mom. I'm like, at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, right. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Just because you don't have to sleep doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I can relate.
Did you remember it the next day, though, when you were awake and you were giving a reading then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then there was one other time. I'll throw this out there real quick. I was down in Deadwood, South Dakota. We were down there. Staying overnight the night before we went to the Stanley Hotel, which was in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But the night we were in South Dakota, we went to one of the Fairmont, I think it is. I don't know, one of the ones that's haunted. Mm-hmm. But it used to be a brothel. And we were up there on the second floor, and me and my wife were kind of towards the back of the group. And I clearly felt this hand just put, it was a female. I'm assuming it was one of the females that used to be there. But she kind of just took her three fingers and kind of just gently ran it down my back, and I was just like, even then I didn't jump. I was like, hey, honey, I think a hooker just ran her fingers down my back. And then she did it again. I'm like, yep, that is.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, like you said, and I know this, we know this from doing our work too, is
yes,
they're not different, you know, especially if they haven't really moved on, that they haven't disconnected. Yeah. They're very much the same, you know, so their attitude.
Yeah.
When you're alive is going to be their attitude and their, you know, past and, you know, and not to say that it wouldn't be, you know, if they have, you know, fully crossed over and come back, because sometimes they know that that's how we're going to relate to them is the way that they were when they were alive. So they need to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
So we know that that's only one page in their book, you know, it's one chapter of their soul journey. You know, so obviously they've been others and they will be others. And so, but yeah, coming back to us as we knew them is handy and helpful.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, totally makes sense. That way.
Yeah.
So Karen has a question. She's asking, hey, do spirits sleep or rest in some way? What do you think, Michael?
I've asked that of my sister and my brothers and they don't need it. They don't need it. That's a human, you know, physical experience thing. They don't need the rest. Can they do it? Yes, if they choose to just experience that again. But from what I've asked of them, books I've read from other, you know, mediums and stuff, it's not a necessity because it's a physical human existence need. Spirit doesn't need the rest.
Right. And I think part of it goes back to what you were saying before. It's a lot of work to be here. So I don't know that they rest. I mean, or they sleep as much as they're not manifesting in a way that we can see them because it takes a lot of energy to do that or to communicate with us. So they go, you know, they disconnect, I think, from where we have contact. They need to rejuvenate or regenerate or whatever they, however they want to call it. But yeah, sleeping is a human thing.
I mean, I'm sure I'd like to spend it, you know, when I'm over there, sit in a hammock by an ocean and just chill out, but hey.
Right?
There's still stuff to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like it.
So on your website, I was reading about, and I think you were talking about this too. One of the things you like to do is group, working with groups. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so talk about what that looks like, because there's so many people out there that do group things, but it's all different for everybody and how they do it. So how do you work with groups?
Basically, and it's such a difference between doing a private one-on-one to the group. You know, one-on-one, you're sitting there, you know who you're talking to. In a group, you know, whether it's 5 people, 40 people, whatever the number is, I literally just go in, I open myself up, and, you know, I just have the spirit come to me. Whoever wants to come in first, I acknowledge them, and I start working with them. Usually the way I work specifically is I'll wait for them to approach me first. I'll get some information. Usually I only try to get 2 or 3 pieces of information for them, and then I have them point me to the person they're connected with, at least if not to the person themselves, within a group of 4 in the general direction. So that way I'm not throwing out, hey, I have a father figure who passed from a heart attack. You know, 10 people's hands are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to narrow it down to at least just 2 or 3. I give a couple pieces first, let them acknowledge that, okay, that makes sense. And then I'll start whatever else they're going to give me. And I just give them bits at a time to make sure I narrow down, okay, you're my person. This is for you. And then I go with the messages. And I usually only try to stay with one connection for no more than 7 minutes, because I want to try to get to as many people as I can in a group thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's basically how I work. I mean, you know, I give myself usually about 2 hours is a group thing, but, you know, I talk for 20 minutes just to let people know what's going to happen, answer any questions, you know, stuff like that, and then I just get to it. And the thing with the demonstration reading, too, it's, you know, I try to stress that not everybody's going to get a reading. The purpose of that, a demonstration or group reading, is for the people in the audience, maybe you have never seen a medium, hey, go check this out. You're not paying a lot of money. You get to see what this person's like. Maybe you connect with them. Maybe you'd want a private reading with them. But the thing I always tell people, whether you get a personal reading during a group thing or not, everybody's going to walk away with something. Everybody connects in some way to the messages coming through. And what that is, I hope, literally, if it's just one person leaves that group reading with the just considering the possibility that we survived death, I feel I've done my job. Messages are great, but just to get people to plant that seed that, hey, maybe there is more beyond this. I mean, it just, to me, it gives people peace that, hey, this isn't the end.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is cool.
And that it is helpful, too. Like you said, people that aren't getting a reading, they do get something out of it. They get, you know, because there's questions that or something comes up and they think, oh, that relates to me, too. You know, so even if they don't have something that's directly connected to them or someone that comes through, some of what they're hearing resonates anyway. And so you can take pieces with you that weren't necessarily directed to you, but still apply, because it's sometimes a human thing. It's a experience thing, and we're all doing the same thing. You know, we're all moving through it. So,
And I've had that feedback too. I still remember this. I mean, it was after one of my group readings, somebody messaged me afterwards and said, hey, I didn't get a personal reading that day, but oh my God, did you, I went home and told my husband what I experienced, and it changed us.
Mm-hmm.
It just opened that possibility, and they just were thanking me just for the experience.
Cool.
You know?
Cool.
It was just, yeah, what a great feeling.
Yeah. So we have one more question here before we have to wrap up.
Sure.
Lorraine on the chat room is asking, are the spirits you communicate with crossed over and coming back to communicate, or are they stuck here and so they're communicating?
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth, I cannot tell them apart. I don't try to. I know some people are very sensitive and they know. I personally have not. I don't know. I just connect to whoever's coming here or coming to me. And I relay the messages. So I've never been able to tell, are they crossed? You know, are they coming back? I personally cannot tell. I cannot tell the difference.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That works. I suppose it's the message that counts. So
yeah.
That's that's what you're doing, is relaying the message. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Said.
Yep.
Wow, I can't believe that we've run up an hour.
I know, it's 8:56.
I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, oh my goodness. So, yeah, this has been really interesting, and hearing your story and just listening to how you do this and how this came about in your world. I don't know. I think, and there's a lot of, I think sometimes when we have guests on, and not that it matters that no. if we're different or alike, but there's a lot of similarities here, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and how, mm-hmm. Which, so I appreciate that, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's mm-hmm. some of how I think about it or you think about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool when people think other ways or do things other ways. That's cool too, but it's always mm-hmm. fun to have.
Well, and I love it, Michael, that you're saying, I don't know for sure, because, well, yes. I say that a lot, especially with, you know, like, not spirit, but I mean, like, squatching. I always say, hey, we're babies in this field. We don't know everything. I mean, you know, I just put that right out there. You know, don't ask me, because I don't know. And so anybody who says that is just so much more real, I think, and so much more fun to talk to. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. I get the question, too. Can you prove what you do? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I really can't. I mean, you know, I won't know until I'm there, you know, who I just put my trust in. What the spirit's telling me, what the person's validating, but literally, I can't prove it. I don't know if I'm actually talking to that spirit or if someone's channeling through whatever. I have no idea. I just do it, and I trust what the process is. Will I know for sure someday? Yes, when I'm there, but I mm-hmm. can't prove any of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of go with it.
Yeah. I love that you're so candid. Thank you so much. This has been so fun. This has been a really yes. fun interview and a fun hour. And I hope you come back at some point and talk to us again.
Oh, my God. I'd love to.
Are you coming to Paracon this year? Because you're not too far from there.
I am going to try my best. I really am. Too. It's that work thing.
See, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's always that.
Yes.
Right?
we shall see.
Yeah, well, we hope you come, because it'll be fun, because we'll all be there, you know, and so it'd be fun to see you, and there's the music. It's time for us.
We gotta go. Thank you again, Michael, and...
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate this very much.
This was so fun. Thank you so much, and we will put Michael's information on the chat line again, and we'll put it on our Facebook page as well. So,
with that, we're gonna wrap it up.
Yep.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Thanks for everybody in the chat room and ParaX Network for hosting our show. Sarge, our magnificent producer.
Yes.
And everybody that's listening. We appreciate you being here.
Yes, exactly. So good night, and we will see you next week.
Night, everybody.